You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and I'm absolutely thrilled you're here, of course. Thank you all so much for your kind love and support that you've been expressing to Don and I. We are absolutely thrilled to see how much the portal is growing and how many of you out there are actually taking part in every episode. So thank you guys for that, and thank you to those of you who have sent in your stories. Got a great show lined up for you guys tonight, but if you have an encounter of your own that you'd like to send in, first and foremost, please feel free to send them in to paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to read those on an upcoming episode of the show. So tonight what I'm going to talk to you about is some really crazy paranormal accounts that people have had. There's no one type that I'm going to be covering in this. It's kind of a smorgasbord, or a buffet, if you will, of different paranormal types of events, but very, very cool and very powerful. And I hope you guys are ready because I'm loving these stories, absolutely loving them. So let's get into it and see what you guys think. So the first one we're going to get into here is, none of these are actually very long, so just bear with me. A lot of them are very quick, but these are some cool, really powerful encounters. So the first one is, long story short, multiple people who are not friends with one another have been in my house and seen a woman in a blue dress and then told me about it later. Well, I didn't tell anyone else about it, not even my husband, because it doesn't bother anything. I mean, no big deal, right? Anywho, I myself have seen her twice. The first time I woke up in the middle of the night and saw her leaning over the baby's crib, I immediately sat up and she just faded away. I felt crazy because I didn't know anyone else had seen her at the time. And the next day I went to Walmart and some lady walks by me and says, "She likes the baby." And I stop and asked her, "What?" And she says, "The woman in your house, she likes the baby." Low-key peed my pants and ran home. Yeah, that's enough to kind of drive you wild, but a very curious thing that a bystander would just come up and fill you in on what's going on. That's pretty crazy. That must be a pretty impressively psychic woman that you bumped into, but very neat. This next one is really a short one. It says, when I was a little kid, my dad used to take me and my two sisters to a railway museum in my city. We really loved it, but he suddenly stopped taking us there. And years later, I was told why. Every single time my dad took pictures of us there, a strange face appeared above my little sister. And so he got scared and never ever brought us there at any time again. That is strange. Could that be an attachment to the sister? Could it be just some entity at that location that liked her or felt maybe it reminded him or her of a daughter that they once had or something? I don't know. Very strange. But I think it's got to be incredibly unnerving. And I'm guessing the father in this case probably doesn't have a real developed paranormal paradigm. So it seems to be a pretty harsh reaction to that. Like, nope, I'm done with this. We're going somewhere else. We're going to the park. The next one I'm going to read to you guys is first night in my apartment. Didn't have a bed, so I slept on the couch in the living room. I had a nightmare that someone with a knife was going down the hallway just as they got to the living room door. I woke up. I jumped in my car and spent one more night in my parents' house. 2 months later, my roommate falls asleep on the same couch. Next morning, he tells me about a dream he had about a guy coming down the hall with a knife, and just as he got to the door, my roommate woke up. Well, that's strange enough, but a few months after that, a friend asks if he can crash for the night, and I say, sure. He can sleep on the couch, so the next morning, he says he had a really weird dream, and I said, guy coming down the hall with a knife, right? My roommate added, you woke up just as he got to the door, didn't you? This guy went absolutely the palest shade of white I've ever seen. That's really weird. Now, that sounds kind of like a haunted object. And in this case, you know, we've talked about that on the show before, but in this case, it seems to be a couch, is what I would guess. So you might want to either figure out a way to purge that couch or get it out of your house. Because who knows? I mean, is it just a psychic impression or is it an actual spiritual attachment to that couch that somehow has to do with somebody napping on it or sleeping on it that triggers the consciousness in it? I don't know. Or is it just some weird form of residual haunting that has to do specifically with that couch? And the answer is could be in both cases. But very, very strange. So the next one I got here for you guys is when I was 6 or 7, I was going to the bathroom, not bothering to close the door because no one else was home. And my parents' room was directly across a narrow hallway from the bathroom, with their door being pretty close to the being entirely open, with only a few clothes keeping it pushed slightly outward. And from where I was, I could see the foot of my parents' bed, the wall on the left side of their bed, and the wall which the door was against being nearly fully open, and if that makes sense at all. But anyway, I'm sitting silently, and I see a black dress with no figure inside rise up from behind the left side of my parents' bed, proceed to float out to the front of the foot of the bed, appearing to float directly towards me, and float behind my parents' bedroom door. Completely silent, no body, no legs, no feet, absolutely nothing. Just a black dress. It floated, not slowly, but really not real quick either, like it didn't even know I was there and was just casually floating through the house. I was freaked out. I finished my business and quickly jumped across the hall and slammed the door the other way, screaming out of fear and in an attempt at being threatening. But nothing was there besides my mom's robes and pajamas. Since then, I was sure to close that door. Every time I went to the bathroom, and only recently have I begun going with the door open, if no one else is home anyway. And nearly every time I do, the thought of that event goes through my head. So this one's a quick one. It says, when I was around 11 years old, I heard scissors snipping from my parents' bathroom, which is next to the bedroom. This happens every night from around 1 to about 1:30. After about 3 months, it stopped, and the dream I had that night was about a witch-looking thing dragging its nails against my back, and the next morning my back was covered in scabs that looked like someone scratched my back. Well, that's definitely odd. Those are not good things, I guess, to experience, but geez. All right, the next one we got here is, I went on a late-night history tour of an old Western prison. Supposedly, this place was haunted and felt someone touch me on the shoulder. I looked behind me at the cell door and the others on the tour and turned back around, and I distinctly feel three fingers touching my shoulder. I then felt a presence behind me, like the kind you get when you just walk past mannequins at stores or clothes stores. But there was no one there inside the cell. And this all went within moments, and the tour guide told me it's the friendly cell. Well, no one else on the tour experienced anything. Yeah, sometimes it has to do with resonance. There's something about a person's energy that may trigger the events. Not that it's not intelligent. It may very well be intelligent, but there's, you know, maybe these spirits don't interact with just everybody. Maybe they're discerning in their haunting, for lack of a better term. I don't know. It's very strange, though. All right, here's another one. This one's a little bit longer. I was babysitting my ex's niece when I was still with him at their family home, and his sister went out with her friends that night, and my ex was working, so I was alone with the baby and my ex's youngest sister, who was only 2 or so years younger than me. Well, they lived out of the city on a dirt road, so they had a bunch of land, and their kitchen had large, beautiful windows that almost went from the floor to the ceiling. And you could see over the land where the horses were and some plains and stuff, and during the day, it was very serene looking out the window because there was no neighbors. Nothing you could see more miles except serene tranquility. Well, this setting changed a lot at night, and I was completely terrified of what all this vast nothingness looked like during the dark. I couldn't see anything out there, but something could look in and see me. I distinctly remember getting a chill up my spine once the sun had set and shutting the curtains end to end that night I was babysitting. And once it got later in the evening and I was failing miserably at playing Morrowind on a terrible $300 ThinkPad laptop, I was not smart. I went into the kitchen to get a drink because it was time to take my meds. As soon as I stepped into the kitchen, I saw that the curtains were wide open. Not just a little bit, but end-to-end open. I've got ADHD, but I would not have left those curtains open because their property genuinely scared the hell out of me that night. The baby was absolutely sound asleep, and my ex's sister didn't leave my sight all night either, so no one would have opened those curtains. It really haunts me. I think about it and get all woozy, and I try to be rational, but I still just can't explain it. Yeah, that's kind of stuff that'll reprogram your paradigm in a hurry, those kind of things. This one is, I actually have a bunch of weird paranormal stories, but there's one that really creeps me out more than any of the others. It says, I was about 13, sleeping over at a friend's mom's house, and she lived in a duplex that the family lived in for over 40 years. And she had a couple of kid cousins over that weekend, so I really didn't think of it when I saw some small blonde boy in a striped t-shirt come around the corner and peek into the room that we were hanging out in. Well, my friend asked me who I was waving to, and I just said, one of your little cousins. The next morning, we went to the other side of the duplex where her grandparents lived, and I saw a picture on the wall of the little blonde boy with the striped t-shirt on with in memory of written on it. I got a chill and asked her who it was, and she said, oh, that's my uncle. He got hit by a car right outside the house when he was 7 in the 80s. Why? I told her that's the exact little boy I saw outside your room last night. And she just responded with, yeah, he likes to say hi to the family sometimes. So she was absolutely comfortable with it. I understand it's the potentially the spirit of a family member. Now, is it for sure? I don't know. I mean, it could be something looking like the family member, but anyway, it didn't obviously never really threatened the family or made them feel uncomfortable. And maybe it's a sweet thing. I don't know. It's very strange, though. Here's another one. It says, I'm convinced the house I lived in during my freshman year of college was haunted. And I also swear that all of this is 100% true. I don't talk about it because it sounds ridiculous, but it did happen. And I can't explain it. The house was 120 years old. My room had a door to the attic that I kept locked. I had four other roommates who all swear they weren't screwing with me. I was laying in bed one day and I heard a super loud crash behind the door of the attic. I grabbed my big male roommate and we opened the door together. At the bottom of the steps, there were six awkwardly shallow steps leading up to a bunch of that pink foam stuff in your typical attic. And there was an old painting of some lady. We were creeped the hell out. Nobody had ever seen that painting before, let alone gone into the creepy attic. We put the painting in the corner of the attic where it could not fall and didn't think about it again. A few months later, I heard the same crash. I figured I dreamed or imagined it, and again I opened the door and found the painting sitting there. This time I moved the painting into the basement, and there were some shelves, and I just threw it in the back of the top shelf. A couple of months went by. Yet again, late one night, I heard the crash from behind the attic door, and I thought to myself, no way. Grabbed my roommate again and opened the door. There it was. That damn painting was sitting at the bottom of the steps again. I don't understand how I kept the door to my room locked, as well as the door to the attic. My roommates couldn't have gotten up there to even play a prank, and I really don't understand what happened. After the third time, we took the painting out to the fire pit and burned it. Thankfully, all the creepy stuff stopped there. I moved right out of that house as soon as the lease was up. I can't explain what happened. I just know it was really creepy as hell, and you could not convince me to go back there. That is strange, and that's like, you know, in events like that, ladies and gentlemen, that's a demonstration of some really profound alterations in physics as we know it. So this seems to be a deport and aport. Deports are when things are missing. An aport is when they appear. Now, the painting was in the basement, and his room was locked. The door to the attic was locked, so there's no way somebody could have just, I'm going to screw with them and set up the painting again to be there. And who would? I don't know. I mean, yeah, people do stuff like that. That's not so uncommon, I guess. But if that is absolutely an absolutely clear and true recollection of these events, that is demonstrating something absolutely profound, absolutely sensational, that a painting could move itself from the basement to the attic with no access physically for that painting to move through those spaces and to repeat an act like that. So I don't know. That stuff really trips me. That really trips me out. The next one is a short one. It says, one time when I was 9, I tripped down the stairs and was about to hit my head on the ground head first, but then I was just standing at the bottom of the steps like I had walked down. I am still confused to this day. So I've heard several stories like that, ladies and gentlemen, doing the show. I assume that there must be some truth to it, something to it, maybe. Again, I can't speak to the authenticity of these accounts. They are represented as true stories, so I am presenting them to you in that same vein. But if this is actually accurate, and I've heard other people reference this kind of event, it would seem like some form of intervention by a paranormal entity. Now, some people may say that's a guardian angel stepping in and saving somebody, or maybe it's a loving spirit, ancestor, something, you know, some kind of ghostly intervention. And I think those are incredible. Honestly, I wish they would do a lot more of it because, you know, it could sure save a lot of people a lot of heartache if with a little bit of intervention from time to time. So that's pretty cool. It's an amazing thing to have had happen. I think it's incredibly profound. This next one is really short. It says, three times in my life, I saw everything around me freeze all at once, but only for about a half a second each. It's weird, But by the third time, I knew I wasn't just seeing things. I just knew something was up. So you got to wonder, is there a way to step out of the timeline as we understand it? Is there some field or force that could create those conditions where you would step out of the progression of events that unfold that we understand as time? Again, I don't know that this is absolutely true or not, but if it is true, this is another example of the paranormal being the breadcrumbs. These are the breadcrumbs demonstrating the fantastical possibilities that exist within our reality. And I think that that is incredibly amazing. Wow. The next one is really short as well. And this is, we were spending the night at my girlfriend, now wife, then a few months into our relationship. That's a whole lot of backstory in just a parenthesis there. So at my girlfriend's dorm, as we usually did, alternating between her building and mine, sometime suddenly in the middle of the night, about 3 a.m., we both wake up at the same time for no apparent reason, and we're both feeling really unsettled and even scared. Both of us somehow had a very distinct feeling of there being someone else in the room, even though we can clearly see there's no one there, as it's a single room only, and it's about 170 square feet big. So we calm each other down and go back to bed. And when we wake up in the morning, one picture on her fridge is now hanging upside down, and more specifically, the only one containing an image of the two of us together. That's not a good sign. The weird thing about this is that the magnet is still on the bottom side of the picture, so it can't have been gravity. And the picture is still in the exact same spot amidst all the other pictures. A few days later, we found out that a girl who lived in her room more than a decade before committed suicide after a breakup with her boyfriend. When I think of this logically, it sounds like a silly story, but we both still very vividly remember this being scary as hell, even though we've now been together for over 12 years. Yeah, that's not good. You know, that's a great example of, you know, I really believe that some of these entities stick around because they have something to say and they have something that they want to share, and they feel that compulsion to tell their story. And so this is a great example of what could be one way that this spirit could tell their story. It's very rudimentary, but by tipping their picture upside down, was that this entity's way of saying, look, this is why I died, because of a relationship. And that was the only picture of those two together. And it was the only one that was tipped upside down. So that seems to be a really good clue. So if you're ever in a situation where you believe that there's some kind of presence, look for things like that. Look for little quirky things like that. What is the message? What could the message be? Because I think that once it's acknowledged and once you understand the scope of the conditions of this person's life, maybe that's the closure they need just to tell their story. And then perhaps they can move on. But perhaps without that, they feel stuck in that emotion and just can't move past it. So I don't know. It's I guess it, in some ways it's kind of like, you know, where's Waldo? You got to figure out what it is they're trying to say. Now, I do believe that most hauntings are not diabolical at all. I think that they're situations like this. Someone had something to share, desperately wanting to share the story. And, you know, they only have, for most of us, now, unless you're a psychic, spirits only have a certain number of ways that they can give you information. And most often it's symbolically. And so you got to look at what you're finding and look for symbology behind it. Is there something that may represent? And, you know, quite honestly, and it's up to you if you want to do this or not, but if you do see something like that, and if you do find a line of thinking that you believe it could be, address it to the spirit. Like, talk, say, you know, I see this, I see you've done this, and does this mean this. You know, if this is what it means, I understand, and I'm, you know, so sorry. I hope you're able to move towards the light and happy place. And it might release that. It might. I don't know. It's kind of up to the individual, I guess, to what manner or what depth are you willing to get involved in your own haunting if you have one. But it can certainly be a cathartic experience, I think. It's my two cents for whatever that's worth. So, next one. Long story short, we knew we had a ghost kid at the house. After a few drinks, I decided to taunt him by laying a beer bottle on its side and saying, "Timmy, if you're here, spin the bottle." A few seconds go by and nothing happens. And then every door in the house slammed open. The front door had a deadbolt on. Yeah. Okay, so I think this would be a good place to talk about this. I think that's it's pretty well known in paranormal research, paranormal investigating, that activity can really ramp up for the people living there after a paranormal research team comes through. And I think part of it is that they're not there to entertain you. The spirits are not there to entertain you. And some of these groups come in, they're like, "Well, if you're here, do this. And how would you feel if you were just hanging out in your house and somebody came in through the door? You didn't invite them in. They're just there. And suddenly they're wanting you to like do somersaults. And if you're here, vacuum your floor," you know, or something like that. You're like, "Hell no, get out of here. What the hell's wrong with you?" So I think that in most cases, these spirits were once human beings and they are still the same people they were when they were alive, except that they're obviously more physically challenged now, but I don't think they want to be patronized, and I don't think they want to create these conditions to give you evidence, you know. I think that it may be actually offensive in some cases, and that's probably why that activity ramps up after investigations, because they're like, "What the hell was that? Why'd you let those people in here? Screw you. I'm going to really screw with you now." You know, just a thought, but I think there's something to that, because this is a case where spin the bottle. Well, obviously, Timmy didn't feel like spinning the bottle. He felt like going, "No, screw you. I'm going to absolutely terrify you." So the next one is haunted house growing up. Sorry, I kind of exhaled and read at the same time, and it didn't work out as well as I wanted. Haunted house growing up, things would fly off the shelves. Heavy objects would move with no explanation. Electronics would turn on and off in really creepy ways. Lights, radios, etc. My sister and I also both remember seeing this shadow thing standing in the hallways on multiple occasions. But we were little, so I generally just write that stuff off as kids with too much imagination. But the rest of that stuff, scary stuff, and not generally in the realm of normal. At least not to me. Yeah, I agree. That is not normal. But it depends on who you are, though, too. It depends on where you live. If you live in a haunted house, normal. Just saying. Let me see what's going on here. Okay, guys, this is a great time for us to take a quick break. So we're going to take a break, and we'll come right back to it on the other side. So I hope you're enjoying these pretty incredible stories. I think tonight's show is, I think, full of little gems and discussion points. So we'll be right back after these messages. Time to pay the bills. So don't go away, everybody. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. We'll be right back. right, and I'm back. Okay, so this tonight we're just doing a lot of paranormal stories, paranormal encounters people have had that have really shocked them, and in some cases created believers out of them. Some skeptics have been turned into true believers, and other people have just been scared out of their wits. But I think these are some fantastic stories, so I hope you guys are enjoying them as much as I am. I was pushed down a flight of stairs by an unseen force that felt like hands. It was this creepy old house being rented to university students, and my girlfriend had the upper attic floor with a set of stairs that led down to the second floor, real stairs, not the fold-out kind, and there was a lot of weird paranormal stuff that happened in this house, but this one event really stood out. My girlfriend's friend had just come over, wasted, drunk, and passed out on her bed. It was irritating because we were excited on having some quality time and we're just looking forward to a night together. But after an hour of trying to get her to wake up and send her out or home, we gave up and decided the couch would be better. Plus, she was absolutely out cold, so we just hung out on the couch. So my girlfriend sits down on the couch and I decide I should really brush my teeth, so I tell her I'll be right back and head for the stairs. I look at her while I'm going down the stairs and wink, and at that moment, I feel hands hit my back, and I literally fall forward and start rolling down the stairs. Two cracked ribs, and I had to be taken out on a stretcher because I could barely breathe, and it hurt like hell to stand up. My girlfriend never wanted to believe what I felt and insisted I must have just slipped. But I know I felt strong hands on my back. It took her the longest to start believing that that place was haunted. But damn, was there some paranormal stuff going on. And as far as her roommates and I were concerned, by the time everybody was done living in the house, that event was the worst that happened because it actually got physical. That's got to be horrible. I don't understand that. That seems like... There seems to be, in some cases, a barrier that doesn't normally cross. And I don't know if they just have just a normal sense of decency or if there are some ethereal rules that they're supposed to adhere to. I don't know. But generally, they don't push people. Now, there have been plenty of people that claim to have been pushed in haunting events. But I don't know. I guess it's since they were people, most people wouldn't push another person down the stairs. So I guess that's why maybe it's more rare. But if they were a terrible person in life, they're probably a terrible person in death too. So, and that could very well be why they chose to stick around rather than transition to the next world. Because if they know they were a jerk, then, it's better to sit in an attic somewhere than to face what they believe could be some horrible judgment. It depends on your belief system, but you know what I'm saying. So I think that could be the reason many of these beings decide to stick around. And I say beings because, you know, men, women, children, other things. There are other hauntings that are not even human. But anyway, next one is, I work alone overnight cleaning a restaurant. And there have been quite a few scares, but I'd say the most paranormal was when I heard pleading at the back door one night. It was short and to the point. A woman's voice said my name, and a man's voice said, "Let us in." I went to look out the window that was attached to the door, but nobody was there. As I turned to go back to work, it sounded like something slammed into the door and knocked me to the floor, and I scrambled up, running to safety. I had the managers look at the recording that morning, but they came in and said they saw absolutely nothing. This is only one example of a lot of weird things that goes on there. I don't understand. So what, ghostly hands pushed him through the door, or what happened there? I don't know. It said it sounded like something slammed into the door, but it knocked this person to the floor. And then they scrambled up on their feet, running to safety. So I don't understand the dynamics at work there, but I assume there was a door between them and outside. But anyway, here's another one. Street lights turn off when I walk under them. I don't mean it happened once or twice. It happens all the time at all hours, as long as those lights are on, and anywhere I might be walking. If I walk right under one, they turn off. It used to scare me when I was a kid, but now I really barely notice. You know, I've heard that claim a lot, and I don't know what that is, but the person continues and goes, "This is the only paranormal thing that has ever happened to me, I think. Then again, I'd probably get killed in a horror movie because I would refuse to believe in the paranormal." Huh. Yeah, that's the roll call in a horror movie is the guy that doesn't believe. He always finds out that he's wrong. But I don't know. I've heard that claim a lot. And is there something with those sensors that just gets goofy? I know I've seen streetlights turn on and off plenty of times by themselves. I don't know. Those are pretty huge claims. What would it be about a person that could cause the light to flicker or turn on and off? I don't know. Is it an electromagnetic disturbance? Is there some charge a person can have that can affect that? I don't know. It just seems like more often than not, it's just weird mechanical stuff. But if this person is saying every light they go under anywhere all the time flickers on and off, then they should be sitting in a lab somewhere getting checked, because something's going on that's well beyond the realm of normal reason. They might have some kind of superpowers or something. I don't know. That's some strange stuff. But let's see what's up next here. When I was a kid, I had slept in my room and I saw a lady wearing a black outfit was looking at me behind a window curtain. She just smiled at me, but I was paralyzed with fear and wasn't even able to scream. I'd seen her about 3 times in different places in the house, just standing and smiling at me. I wasn't able to do anything, but after I just ran to my parents and screamed, telling them what had just happened. Since then, I haven't seen her again. I'd be curious what kind of reception this person got from their parents. It's like, "Oh, that's scary. I'm sorry you saw that," or, "It's just your imagination. Get back to bed." That seems to be the most common one. And again, listen to your kids. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to beat that horse again, but I think that's important. These kids need to process this stuff. They need to discuss it and understand what they're dealing with. But I think the parenting model that says, "No, it's just your imagination. No, you're having a bad dream. Just go back to bed," is probably about the most terrible thing you could do, because a child needs someone. They're coming to you because you're the person that makes them feel safe. And if you dismiss them and send them back to where they're already terrified to be, then they know they got to suffer in silence. They know they got to deal with it by themselves. By themselves. I said their selves. Wow. I don't usually say that word. I must be channeling something. Next one is, a few years ago, I'd been out of work for 3 months and had given up hope. On top of that, I'd been getting 20 to 30 spam calls a day, so I just turned off my phone. I was taking a post-lunch nap when I felt a hand grip my shoulder and gently shake me awake with a voice saying, "Answer your phone." I staggered up and went to my desk and turned on my phone before realizing what had happened, and around 15 minutes later, I got a call from a recruiter who had been given my name by a former coworker. Went for the interview, aced it, and I'm still at that job. I've had other weird experiences. We live in a couple of blocks from the city cemetery, and I'm positive we have tourists coming through, but I don't know if they're lost, bored, or trying to communicate. Now, that story is pretty interesting, and I think, I don't know, maybe most people don't really either conceptualize or accept the idea that they may have spirit guides in life. I kind of believe that there's something to the spirit guide thing, that we perhaps have these beings of ethereal origin or whatever that are linked to us and act as guides and help us cope with the fantastic myriad of problems through our lives. And, you know, there's any number of different numbers of guides we can have. You can have one guide, you can have 15. I mean, I've heard many claims of all that in between, but I don't know. I would think that this, in this case, what this sounds like to me is just that a spirit guide is stepping through going, hey, you know, you got to get that job. You know, we're trying to help you out here. Answer your damn phone. Rather than it just being some random wayward spirit from a local cemetery. I don't know, just my two cents. But I think it's probably more likely this person was getting that interaction from a spirit guide that is always with them, or perhaps a loved one that's hanging around making sure that they get on that right track or something. Just another thought for the kindling or for the bonfire of the portal. Anyway, let's continue on. When I was growing up, my mom had a wicker straw angel decoration. It was as big as I was as an 8-year-old kid, and for some reason, I always hated it. It was just creepy. Yeah, but I got a weird bad feeling in the pit of my stomach every time I looked at it or had to pass by it. And I always felt like it was watching me, almost. When my parents divorced, my mom, of course, brought the angel with her when she moved out and into our new home. And there was a wall in the living room that had a rectangle cut out so you could see through it. And my mom hung the thing in there, so it was just kind of hanging in a free space. With it being there, I swear to God, it would just move on its own. And there were no vents or anything near that would move it when the furnace came on or anything else. One time I was sitting on the stairs putting on socks on or whatever, and the stairs were across from the cutout wall with a set of two more stairs going down between them. And I would see the angel, originally being still, just slowly turn around all the way to face me and then stop, becoming absolutely still. It freaked the hell out of me. And it happened on multiple occasions, but I don't know how to explain why or how it happened. I mean, it could have just been an overactive imagination as a kid, but the turning around and just stopping is really weird. You can call BS if you want, but I know what I saw. Yeah, I think that there are many, many objects that carry an attachment for whatever reason. It could be something that was imprinted by the artist that created it, or, you know, something that just attached to it in the interim. But that doesn't surprise me a whole lot, I guess. We hear a lot of stories about objects that, you know, of course, dolls. You know, this is just another kind of doll, and everybody's familiar with haunted dolls. I mean, you know, you look at the Annabelle doll, which was researched by Ed and Lorraine Warren, and even sits now still in their occult museum that they have in the, but now that they're both deceased, I guess the family's taken over the whole operation. But that's a doll. That's a little Raggedy Ann doll. But somehow, some way, somewhere, it's got an evil spirit in it. Now, I think in some cases those can be by people messing with things, you know, messing with things that maybe they shouldn't. Or maybe it's unintentional, or maybe it's very intentional. I think that there are plenty of stories out there of cursed objects being imbued with dark energy in order to create havoc or whatever. And you can come to your own conclusions on that, but perhaps this angel was a similar thing. Or if it just got an attachment some other way, it's hard to say, but that is just really weird stuff. I don't know. So my house used to be the largest on the lot before our town expanded, and it was the largest because it was a funeral home. They sealed off the room with plaster walls where they would prepare the bodies through. Underneath the carpet in my parents' room is a hatch as well. I've seen plenty of things, heard plenty of things, and friends or family have said things that I have seen. And we have a spirit or ghost, which is whichever you want to call it, that lives here named Abigail. And she's a trickster. She likes to hide things, move things, open doors, and sometimes tease their dogs. Whenever my aunt comes to visit with her family, small items tend to go missing. Items like her toothbrush that she set out by the sink just 2 minutes ago. The things here and there are few, aren't as active anymore, or maybe I don't see them or notice them quite as much as I used to. All right, this is a real short one here. It says, When we were burning my grandma's belongings, a small vortex of sparks came up and kept following my sister around. Regardless of where she moved in the circle, there was no wind. That's a very small statement, but it's a very fantastical claim. And I don't know what to think of that. Maybe it's a valid sighting or experience. I wonder why they were burning her belongings. I wonder if there's more to that story than we know. But more strangeness, of course. Let's see. This one's a pretty good one here. My mom passed when I was 22. It was an accident and a shock. My husband and I went three states away to stay at her house for a bit to pack things up and settle her estate. And I've always had really bad problems with my sinuses. Well, the stress and everything got me sick, and I had a horrible sinus infection. I had medicine, and I was on the couch crying after looking everywhere for it. My husband was sitting next to me, holding me. And then we looked over on the table where the Bible was opened, and the meds were sitting on the Bible. The Bible had been there earlier, but it was closed. I remember sitting it there myself. My husband started freaking out because on the page it was open to a verse that was underlined. It was the only one in the whole book underlined, and it said, "And the grieving shall be comforted." I usually would not put any credence in this. I was sick and a mess. My husband was not. He's a very level-headed person when it comes to things like this. Also, quite a few things happened for a while after that, and I like to think my mom was trying to help me cope. I really hope she found peace, because I did. That's a beautiful story. I just love those kind of stories, because it's especially grief. Grief is such a horribly empty, cold thing. But just little acts like that are all it can take to make somebody, I don't know, come to a healing place in a big hurry. So there was many of you are probably familiar with it, but there was a video floating around of this this little child had died. And, there's been several of them, but they were in the funeral home or having a wake for the child, and the casket was there. And, of course, I think it was the mom was just, broken up. She was just all sitting there and just a heap of tears. And who can blame her? What a heartbreaking thing to happen. But as she's sitting there, apparently a red balloon drifted down from the stage next to his coffin and went right to her and just was right down. It came down, and it was like somebody was bringing it to her. And suddenly she's sitting there with tears in her eyes, smiling and just really believing in that moment that was her little baby bringing her a balloon. And that one act very well probably saved this woman months of agony, because in that moment, she knew that her child was there with her, comforting her. And how incredibly powerful is that? Another one similar to that was a woman had a son who had died, but he always loved robins. And he was a little child, but he loved robins. Robins were his bird. He just absolutely loved them. And she's taking a video as she's going to the cemetery. And she's really close to the headstone. And she's there weeping and, you know, visiting the gravesite. And suddenly a robin appears on top of the headstone and starts singing. And, of course, the smile comes and that beautiful moment of my son is here with me. And I think whenever we're grieving a loss. We're grieving the absence of something that was beautiful. And we have to learn to live with that new hole in us. And, you know, it's just agonizing. But those little demonstrations like that are so incredibly profound that I believe that it's the difference between taking years to heal or just weeks, because they know their child is with them. And I think that that's about as beautiful a thing as you could hope for in such a tragic situation. So, anyway, let's continue on here. I'm going to do about I think I'll do this one. Maybe one more after this, but we're about running out of time here, ladies and gentlemen, so we'll get this one and one more probably. So it says, I've had many experiences since I was a kid. The one that freaked me out the most, though, actually happened a few months ago. I'm only 16. I don't like sleeping in my room, so I sleep on the couch in the living room, my choice, and it's actually really comfy. I also suffer from insomnia and have trouble staying asleep, and this being said, I'm normally awake when my dad gets up for work at 4 in the morning, and will wish him a good day at work and such, and I was trying to sleep, but I woke up, having gone through this many times, I just keep my eyes shut, and then I felt something that felt like a leg lean against the side of the couch and hover over me, and then I heard heavy and low breathing. It was so loud and it sounded like a man, so I naturally assumed it was my dad since I thought he was trying to check and see if I was awake. I whipped around to try and scare him, but nothing was there. I was so confused that I kind of just sat there for a few moments thinking about what had just happened. Yeah, that's terrible. The next one. When my son was about 3 to 5 years old, or 3.5 years old, sorry, it's 3.5. We were driving home at night with him and his 7-year-old brother in the back seat. As we approached an area of the road across from my older son's former babysitter's house, my younger son clearly blurted out the name Ashley. Ashley is the name of the babysitter and that she had died the year before in a car accident. My younger son had never met her, and neither son knew that she lived nearby because she always drove to our home to babysit. When I asked my younger son what he said, he repeated the name Ashley, and when I asked him why he said that name, he said Raven told him to. Raven was his favorite stuffed animal. My wife and I were stunned and can't explain what had just happened. Oh my God, that's incredible. Here's another quick one. I was once in a class in around 4th grade. This girl in a white dress appeared somewhere in the classroom, and I observed paralyzed, and she disappeared. I thought it was my imagination, but the guy next to me asked, "Did you see that too?" It still freaks me out. But he was actually frozen, couldn't move when he saw it, huh? Craziness, ladies and gentlemen. Whole bunches of craziness. Here's another one from a classroom. I was in a classroom alone late at night, and a guitar in the corner seemingly plucked a string on its own. I left immediately. I went back the next night, it was finals weeks, and as I was leaving, I heard 4 loud steps coming down the stairs I was just on. I waited for a minute to see if anyone would come, but nobody did. I did not return at night for a while. Another quick one here. I work nights at a hotel. I was setting up coffee one morning a few years back, and I see someone very tall in the kitchen. We make eye contact, and this dude's wearing an olive green jacket and a pair of jeans. After a second, he lifts his legs at the knees and floats out the door. Now, if I were just seeing things, I'd have panicked. I've hallucinated from exhaustion, and the stuff I see really does scare me, but this was there. This was real. It must be a guest or something in an employee area. This happened a couple of times. I take off running to catch this guy and tell him he's not permitted back there. But no one is there because, of course, he's not. The back is empty. I'm alone. And I was still convinced for several minutes that this guy was just hiding from me and he'd have to come out and I'd be able to talk to him. Almost a full 5 minutes elapsed before I finally realized I was literally chasing a ghost. Wow. Here's a quick one. A lady's voice coming from my closet. The door was slightly open and I hear the voice say, "Help me. I see you through the crack." Well, I was scared terribly, but I was also curious and wanting to help, so I opened the door and no one was there. I'll never forget this. It still gives me goosebumps now just talking about it. There's just a couple more left here, so I'll just read these. I used to work at a haunted hotel at the front desk, and there was a room behind the front desk where you could sit when it was late, and nobody was in the lobby. And there was a television with security cameras, including one at the front desk, so you could see if anybody was out there. You could see the whole front desk, including the classic bell that people ring for service. A coworker and I were just sitting in the back room, no one up front. The bell rang, no one was out there. Over the next hour, the bell rang 6 or 7 times, but only when we were in the back. And I don't believe in ghosts, but what the hell? This was a nice 4-diamond old hotel that had huge ballrooms and dining rooms, and I had to walk through late at night when I was alone. And when I worked overnights after that as the only employee in the hotel, I would really get freaked out, but never really saw anything else supernatural. And finally, one last one. I was working the counter late at night at Tim Hortons. I heard an older lady set down her china mug and say, "Thanks, dear." Turned around and there was no one in the store. I'm okay with a regular dead customer having at least one last cup. All right, well, those are some amazing stories. A great collection of stories. Absolutely phenomenal. That's just really cool. I hope you guys enjoyed them as much as I did. Again, thank you so much for all the support and kindness you guys have given us here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. We are absolutely amazed and pleased and just thrilled that our audience continues to grow and grow. And again, if you have an encounter of your own, email us at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. We are on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. I'm not a really prolific Twitter, but I will, of course, share announcements there as things come up. So if you want to keep track of us, get on the Facebook and the Twitter. And one of the two should alert you to any news of the Paranormal Portal. 7 nights a week at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are doing live streams on our YouTube channel as well. So head over there, and we also have this really incredibly huge back catalog of shows that we've done over there. So if you want to catch more of the Paranormal Portal and you want to see what we look like, then head over there and check it out. But all right, guys, love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you next time on the next Paranormal Portal podcast.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.